Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we come before you this morning again and ask that you would open our eyes to behold wonderful things from out of your word. We look to you this morning, Lord, because that's why we're here. We're here to meet with you, the living God. There's no other reason why we should be here except to meet with you, Lord, first and foremost, to meet then with God's people as we bless you, our God. And thank you, Lord, that you never fail us, that you're always in our midst. And so this morning, by the presence of your Spirit and by the power of your word, speak to us this morning, please, in Jesus' name. Amen. We're continuing our delve into, and it is only a delve into, Psalm 119, to see how it actually teaches us to value and respect and learn from God's word exactly what our attitude to God's word should be. Last week, Dave showed how the psalmist stressed the importance of remembering God's word, remembering his promises and his faithfulness to us. In fact, as Dave said last week, and I thought it was brilliant how he brought this in, that even the fourth commandment, remember the Sabbath to keep it holy. It's not about whether I should do my shopping in Tesco's on a Sunday or not. It's not about that. People miss the point. Remember the Sabbath to keep it holy is there to remind us to take time to rest, to consider God, his word, and his ways. If you want to join the Lord's Day Society and you know, not shop on a Sunday, that's fine. But if other people have to shop on a Sunday because they have to work the rest of the week, that's fine too. But remember the Sabbath to keep it holy. Take time to consider God, his word, and his ways. In fact, last week our exhibition and Sunday services focused on remembrance. And I said that we are all obligated to remember the dead because we have a duty to love, respect, and show our gratitude to those who gave so much to us and for us. And when we remember them, we remember them, making them members again of our lives, our communities, and our nations. And this morning, as we were taking of communion, we were remembering Jesus. We came here as the people of God to remember Jesus in all of the hassles and hustle bustle of the past week. We came this morning to remember Jesus, to make him afresh, again, a member of our lives, to take time to consider him and his word and to enjoy him. And in our reading this morning, we see this remembrance theme continued as the psalmist reflects on his relationship with the Lord. And so the psalmist writes in Psalm 119, and we're looking from verse 57. You are my portion, O Lord. I have said that I would keep your words. I entreated your favor with my whole heart. Be merciful to me according to your word. I thought about my ways and turned my feet to your testimonies. I made haste and did not delay to keep your commandments. The cords of the wicked have bound me, but I have not forgotten your law. At midnight I will rise to give thanks to you because of your righteous judgments. I am a companion of all who fear you and of those who keep your precepts. The earth, O Lord, is full of your mercy. Teach me your statutes. I don't know for those who can remember back to 1993, but the former Prime Minister at the time was John Major, and he announced a political campaign called Back to Basics. And he sought to get the whole country, the nation as a whole, to return to traditional values because he looked around him and realized that things had gone way off. And so by his Back to Basics campaign, what he was trying to do was call the nation back to traditional values, saying that we had moved away from the things that matter. But his campaign backfired when a succession of conservative ministers were caught up in different scandals. And so Back to Basics failed. And it was interesting that at the same time, around about the same time in the 1990s, the worship leader, and a world-renowned worship leader, Matt Redman, wrote the song, The Heart of Worship. After the pastor of his church said the worship group had lost their way and needed to get back to the heart of worship. And to get back to the heart of worship, Redman says that it required stripping away everything and focusing solely on Jesus, because worship is all about Jesus. And so in our passage, the psalmist gets back to basics. He's into verse 57 of this song, and he's getting back to basics by remembering his commitment to the Lord. And as he reflects, he remembers the most important thing. The Lord is his portion. In other words, the Lord is his inheritance. The most precious thing in his life is his relationship with the Lord. Those who know me know that my favorite verse in the entire Bible is Psalm 73, verse 25. Whom have I in heaven but you? And since I have you, what else on earth do I need? And this is what it means when we say, you are my portion, O Lord. It means there is no one or nothing I desire besides you. There is no one or nothing that I desire above you. And if this is the case, if we can say this, then it naturally, like the psalmist, leads to a resolve to keep the word of the Lord. Jesus said, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. The psalmist is telling us that he loves the Lord more than anyone or anything else. But it's not wrong to love your wife. It's not wrong to love your husband and to love your children. It's not wrong to love brothers and sisters in Christ and to love the lost. There's nothing wrong with those things. But the Lord must be your first love. He, above all, must be the love of your life. And the psalmist is telling us that he loves the Lord more than anyone or anything else. And therefore, his love for the Lord and his love for God's word causes him to pursue God and to hold fast to that word in the face of every difficulty. He loves his word and he seeks to keep it by walking in it, by obeying it, by putting it into practice, and by living it. You know, Keith mentioned how the psalmist determined to keep the word of the Lord. And that's the way we need to be. It reminds me, during the week as I was doing this, it reminds me of Daniel in the book of Daniel. He was taken captive. A righteous man among all of the captives. And sometimes we've got to understand that bad things happen to Christians. I'm sure you'll probably find coming out from France and the stories that have happened in Paris, that we'll probably hear of Christians among the dead. Christians simply maybe having a meal in a restaurant and gunned down by fanatics. Bad things can happen to Christians. And with Daniel, a bad thing happened. He was taken captive. Even though he was righteous and sought to live by God's word and by God's ways, he, with the rest of the people, were taken captive. But he was called to prepare to serve the king of Babylon. And we're told that Daniel purposed in his heart, he determined not to defile himself with the king's delicacies. What was happening was Daniel was being prepared with his three friends to serve the king, and they could eat of all of the king's delicacies. And Daniel says, I'm having none of it, because he knew these things were sacrificed to idols, and he wasn't prepared to defile himself with these things. He purposed in his heart not to do so. And the world out there offers us a lot of its delicacies, its fleeting pleasures. But because the Lord is our portion, we, like Daniel, need to purpose in our hearts, we need to determine not to defile ourselves with the world's delicacies, but to keep God's word. The Lord is our portion. We, like Daniel, need to purpose in our hearts, determine that we will keep God's word. The psalmist remembers, and therefore he reminds us, that God is merciful, and thank goodness that God is merciful. Because much as we desire, much as we determine not to defile ourselves with the delicacies of the world, because of our sinfulness and because of our weaknesses, we often feel God. However, the Lord is gracious and compassionate. He actually pities us because he knows what we are like. And therefore, out of his grace and his mercy and his love, he gives to us according to his word. And as a result of the Lord's mercies, the psalmist recognizes and remembers his duty to love, respect, and show gratitude to the Lord. And therefore he can say, I turned my feet to your testimonies. I made haste and did not delay to keep your commandments. You see, sometimes the direction of our lives can lead us away from the Lord. We see things like this happening all the time. We see people who tell us how much they love the Lord, and as soon as a certain thing happens in their lives, they're off. Sometimes the direction of our lives can lead us away from the Lord, from the paths of righteousness. However, the Lord is merciful and gracious, and he puts signposts along our paths with his word to point us again in the right direction. But we need to learn to make haste, not to drag our feet or not delay in turning our feet again to the ways of the Lord and his word. We must purpose in our hearts not to defile ourselves with the ways of the word, but instead to walk in God's ways. You know, when you read here, for example, in verse 61, the psalmist says, the cords of the wicked have bound me. The cords of the wicked have bound me. Now, you could be forgiven to think, and in fact you may even be right in thinking, that it speaks of the psalmist being taken captive by his enemies. Well, I don't think that is what is happening here. What I think it is speaking of here is people who seek to drag us into sin and sinful ways. And the psalmist here is saying the same thing. There are people out there who are seeking with cords to drag me into sin and into sinful ways. In fact, the New Living Bible translates this verse, evil people try to drag me into sin, but I am firmly anchored to your instructions. You see, certain people out there, very loving people, people who love us and people who care about us, they may have every good intention in the world toward us by what they do or by what they want us to do. However, it is no less a worldly intention. And if it urges us or entices us to sin, then we, like the psalmist, must not forget the word of God. Remember, the Lord is our portion. there should be no one or nothing else we desire beside him and to keep his word. We need to be firmly anchored to his instruction. We need to be firmly anchored to the word of God. He is the one who sustains us. He alone can satisfy us with his unfailing love. I love this, and we were mentioning this on Saturday night, or Wednesday night. At night, he says, at night. Now to me, when I see the verses in the Bible about at night, I know, like Sandra, he gets wakened up in the middle of the night, or, you know, you get wakened up in the middle of the night by God to pray. I know Billy was saying that God was doing something at night, you know, and it's when you're alone. I think, as Pete says, there's nobody else around you. You don't want to waken up the husband or wife or the kids to say, oh, God woke me out of my sleep, so I'm waking you up so that we can pray. You know, it's at night, but it speaks to me of the secret place. It's that place of intimacy that God calls us to when it's just us and him. And like the psalmist, at night, in the secret place, the psalmist gives thanks to God for his word and his ways. I wonder, do you have a secret place? See, my secret place is early in the morning. I get up 6 o'clock in the morning to spend time with the Lord in the word and in prayer. Other people, it's different times, but it's a secret place. It's that place where it's only you and God. The psalmist tells us that he loves to fellowship with like-minded people and thanks God for his word. He praises the Lord for them, for those who fear the Lord and love his word, because his word teaches that there are like-minded people and he loves to fellowship with them. Do you love fellowshipping with like-minded people? You know, do you come here on a Sunday to meet with God first and foremost, because he is your portion? If you haven't got that right, you shouldn't be here at all. Fundamentally, if you're not coming here first and foremost with the sole purpose of meeting with God first, then you shouldn't be here. Then you meet with God's people, and collectively together we fellowship one with another and worship and praise the living God together. And the Lord blesses us by coming into our midst and speaking to us and ministering to us. And so the psalmist says he loves fellowshipping with like-minded people, those who he knows the Lord is their portion and they love his word. And finally he tells us, the earth, O Lord, is absolutely full of your mercies. As I said this morning, the mercy of God is that we are alive here today. There's 127 or maybe more people dead in Paris, but we are alive today. There is the mercies of God. The mercies of God are all around us. The mercies of God are that we don't have cancer this morning in the way that Sandra shared about that man who died. But also in the mercies of God, because we hear these things, he brings us together to be able to pray for God's mercy into those situations. God's mercy is throughout all the earth. And the psalmist says, because of that, teach me your statutes. Teach me your word. And it's always why? So that I can tell others. Because the Lord is his portion. Because the Lord is gracious and compassionate, because the Lord is his delight, he simply wants to know him more. I wonder if many of us can say that this morning with all honesty. The Lord is my portion, and I want to know him more. You know, sometimes we need to get back to basics and take time to reflect and to remember who the Lord is and what he means to us. I have carried a word that Dave said over recent weeks, just with trying to deal with issues, as you've heard about. And one of the things that Dave said was, See if we get this very badly wrong, the Lord's not going to love us any less. And even if we get it right, he's not going to love us anymore. And we've had to lean on the Lord for help. Because the Lord is our portion. Because we know that he is gracious and compassionate. Because the Lord is our delight. We want to know him more. But sometimes we have to get back to basics. To reflect, to remember who the Lord is and what he means to us. You see, sometimes it is necessary to strip away everything and get back to the heart of worshiping Jesus. You see, if the Lord is our portion, if he is our inheritance, the most important, the most precious thing in our lives, then we need to ensure we love him more than anyone or anything else in life. His word and ways should be our delight. And therefore, when we're tempted by the world's delicacies, we must continually determine purpose in our hearts, not to defile ourselves with the ways of the world, but to make haste and not delay in turning our feet to the ways of the Lord and his word. So let me ask, is the Lord your portion this morning? You will be answering that now in your minds and in your hearts. And so I'll ask it again. Is the Lord your portion this morning? Can you truly say there is no one or nothing that you desire more than him? Maybe you have felt the cords of the world drawing you away from the Lord and his ways. Well, think about your ways and remember the Lord is merciful and he has signposted your paths with his word to point you again in the right direction because he loves you. He has done this. But you need to learn when you see those signposts to make haste and not drag your feet or not delay in turning your feet again to the ways of the Lord and his word because he is jealous for you. He loves you so much. He is jealous over you. And when we stray down the ways of the world seeking its delicacies, the Lord is jealous and he'll put signpost after signpost in our path saying, turn, 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 I love you, turn, turn. The Lord is our portion. He therefore can satisfy our deepest longings. You see, the ways of the world and its delicacies, they are fleeting pleasures. They are hastily passing away. But God's mercies are new every morning, and his word abides forever. Resolve, therefore, determine, purpose in your heart to ensure the Lord is your portion. And remember, you can rejoice also in his mercies. Because they remind us that he knows our weaknesses and he pities us and still gives to us according to his word. But one final thought this morning on this passage is actually the Hebrew word, because you know that we've been telling you that Psalm 119 is written in alphabetical order. Well, one final thought on this passage is this Hebrew word, hech. There are a number of thoughts on exactly what it means. But one in particular that I like is the word fence. You see, the passage therefore suggests the Lord hedges in with a fence of his mercy those who make him their portion and trust in his word. May each of us be fenced in by God's mercy, be kept by his power, and be provided for by His grace, because the Lord is our portion. Let's pray. Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, thank you for your word this morning. Thank you that you look upon us and you love us. And you know our weaknesses, you know our sinfulness, you know how often, Lord God, the delicacies of the world entice us. Please, Almighty God, give us a heart that continually declares, "The Lord is my portion." And may we, O God, have feet that will not, Lord, be dragged, but will make haste to turn to your word when those delicacies confront us and seek to drag us away into the things of the world. Lord, we love you, and you are our portion this morning. And Father, we would say that if there is anything in our lives that in any way takes your place as being the most important person in our lives, the one that we love above all, if there is anything, we ask, please, that you would point it out, and that you would, by your grace and the power of your Holy Spirit, help us to tear it from your throne, so that you, Lord God, would truly be our portion throughout our lives. Lord, we thank you this morning for your rich love toward each of us, for your grace and your mercies toward us all. Help us, please, to say to you this morning, "Whom have I in heaven but you? Since I have you, what else on earth do I need?" In Jesus' name, amen.